Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Taking your football thoughts, talking about Justin Fields, after our conversation with Joe DeCamera from Philadelphia. A lot of people are feeling a certain type of way, man. Can't wait to talk to you guys and hear what you have to say. From the 630, remember you could text in as well. Said Justin Fields is better than Tua, Jalen Hurts, and any of the San Francisco quarterbacks. And I looked at the number and I immediately went to my phone to see if it was Kevin Lapka, one of our video producers here, because I was like, that sounds like a Kev statement. But no, it wasn't.
I walked into the
And walked right out, by the way.
Yeah, I did. Walked in and you two guys were like going at it, heated battle. I started to film some of them. I'm like, that's it. I've had enough. I'm gonna go steal a Diet Coke, which I did.
Where'd you steal it from?
Well, did you notice that the vending machine upstairs, which is a help yourself out of the refrigerators,
yeah.
and then you put it up to the and you pay it's like a trust system up there. The payment system is out of order. But I'm like, I gotta have a Diet Coke. So I didn't see that the out of order sign until the end. So I'm fiddling with them, like, what the hell's going on? And then I did the thing. I took $2 out of my pocket and I left $2 up by the machine and took my Diet Coke.
You are not a rule follower, Mark Grody.
That's right.
The sign clearly says refrain from taking items from the grocery store.
Yeah, but it doesn't say refrain from taking items from the grocery store and putting dollars down. I put $2 down. Which I did, because I know is ridiculous.
What you should have done was flash it in front of the camera. You know, because the guy.
I knew what I was doing. I was doing a presentation. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm about to do a radio show for 3 hours, and I believe I gotta have this fuel. Yeah. I mean, I need the caffeine hit. So
I will say I have a running tab right now of two pops, a bag of chips, and a Snickers bar.
Wait a minute. So you're stealing stuff
before the sign went up.
Oh, so you just thought it was out of order and you were like...
It was out of order and I said, okay, I got a mental tab in my head.
So you felt justified in not leaving a few dollars?
No,
because
I would just go up there and just scan like 3 Coca-Colas, 2 bags of chips and just pay for it.
Oh, so you figured they'll come back and bill you later or something?
No. When it works,
yes,
I will just go to the front and scan the items, pay
and
for
put
it
back.
And
I
put them back.
You. Yeah. You really do that?
I'm responsible.
That's very Boy Scout.
Have you placed the cash there before?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, because I always saw someone and I just see like a stack of cash.
And like,
they had a sign, was like, please
don't
stop
leave
leaving cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, did they really?
They did.
Could you do me a favor, Tyler? Once we get talking, could you go grab those $2 out of the vending machine
and find a way to erase the memory on the video camera?
It's so funny because like part of me felt like a good guy for doing that. Like,
I mean,
and
you're still
like,
paying for it.
Like I felt like, okay.
Is he though? Because if I walk up there and take the $2, is he though?
Right. But when in fact that whoever is monitoring that's like, stop doing this. You're not a good guy for leaving money by the vending machine. You're screwing us up. Now I don't know how many Cokes are supposed to be there. As far as we know, somebody stole a Diet Coke.
Because Gabe waved those same $2 in front of the camera.
Did you?
No, I'm saying that's what I would go do now. All right, we're taking your calls.
I'm seriously
right
going to go grab those $2. Now I feel justified in taking my money back. And I've already drank half the Diet Coke. Too bad.
Just buy a 6-pack.
So long, suckers.
No, what you do is you buy a 6-pack of Coke of Diet Coke for cheaper, and then you just refill the machine yourself.
Oh, man.
That's genius.
I am beating the system today.
312-644-6767. Gabe and Grody hanging out with you guys till 9 o'clock. Let's go to the phone lines. Talk to Daniel out in Chicago. So you feel, without question, Bears need to keep Justin Fields.
Yes, Gabe. You are my favorite. Gabe, you remember?
My guy, Daniel.
TV.
Yeah.
I watch you at Fox TV. I watch you at the Bears.
I got a lot of jobs. Pick anyone.
I know. You got a lot of jobs.
I appreciate you, Daniel.
I follow you all over the place, man.
I love it, man. I wish there were a million more of like you. So what do you got to say about Justin Fields, Daniel? What do you think?
The guy with you now, my Grody, that's my guy, too.
That's my guy.
That's my guy. Always talk about good stuff about the Chicago Bears. That's my guy.
Thanks, man.
I appreciate it.
Did you just say Grody?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, man.
You said the guy you're there with, Grody. Oh, I like him. Says a lot of great stuff about the Bears.
I didn't hear you, man. I am sorry, and I just left everybody hanging right there. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. I'm glad you said that because sometimes this happens in radio when there's two people on the air. One person gets a really warm compliment, the other is left hanging, and he didn't leave me hanging.
We're equals.
So,
yeah. We're equals.
No, I know. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to Harry in Chicago. Harry, so you feel like Fields has demonstrated that he is capable of being the quarterback of the Chicago Bears?
I do. I think he's an exceptional athlete. He's got great footwork, and a good sense for the field. He also has an excellent arm. And the big problem we have, again, is that we have, I think, and I wanted to say, I think he's one of the best quarterback prospects we've seen in the city in a long, long time.
Not saying much, Harry.
Well, maybe going back to Jimmy Mack, yes. But what I wanted to say was that people who want to dump Fields, this guy, what he needs is some protection. He has no offensive line. He's had few to none as far as offensive weapons. The Bears need so much around him to give him a chance to excel. This talk about replacing Fields is crazy to me.
Is it, though? I mean, I understand it, right? Like, look, I'll put my Bears fandom hat on, which I wear often. It's glued to my head.
I know you do.
Yes. Justin Fields, the man, you know? He's proven that he can perform at a high level when he does have talent around him like he did in Ohio State. The issue is, right, at Ohio State, on the other side of the ball, there was an NFL talent, right? And there was an occasion, there was a guy here, a guy there, but he had the dominant team that he was throwing to. And so do I want him to be, again, Bears fandom cap on, do I want him to be great? Absolutely. Do I think he will? Yeah. And we never addressed the whole, like, where I'm at with Justin Fields in the present. Mm-hmm. But I think the part that I'm noticing more now talking to people is the delusion that exists. Because I can say, I want Justin Fields to be good. Do I think with 100% certainty that Justin Fields is going to be great? No. And there's nothing that he's done that allows me to say that without question. And that's just where I'm at. So my fandom takes over. Yes, I do think Justin Fields is going to be great. But is it without doubt? No. And I think that when I talk to delusional fans, like are more delusional than me, and they're like, Gabe, you're crazy. Justin Fields is going to be the man. What? What has he done to make you think that without question, Justin Fields is going to be, because he has some good games where he ran the ball exceptionally well?
He ran the ball like a superstar this year.
Like a superstar.
There's no doubt about it. I never want to downplay that.
But that's not the quarterback. Right. That's not what a quarterback does.
And Justin Fields knows that more than anybody.
Right.
He even said he wants the next record that he breaks to be one with his arm. So he knows it. He gets it. He wants to be a quarterback who throws the football, because guess what? Justin Fields knows that that's the only way he's going to be great. And Justin Fields knows that's the only way the Bears are going to be good. The Bears sucked with Justin Fields being a 1,000-yard rusher. And I know that there's a lot more complications involved with it all. But, you know, the reason that we're talking about it is because, number one, what you said, that you have to look at him over 2 years now with the Bears, if there's not a little bit of doubt, then you're just completely...
And that's all I'm saying, Gross.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
But the other part is, the Bears are also, this could sound crazy, they're in position to replace Justin Fields right now.
Right now.
They're in position. Like, if they wanted to do it, this is a grand opportunity to replace Justin Fields. But, man, it would be a bet of a lifetime, because you do have all signs point in favor of, or a lot of things point in favor of Justin Fields at least being a good quarterback for a lot of years, which you would accept.
And if you were to trade him away, you wouldn't be trading him to a trash team. It'd be a team that feels as though they need a serviceable quarterback to take them to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably do have two wide receivers that are there. If, let's just say, I'm just throwing out a team. Not that this works, not that this is anything, I'm just throwing out a team. Let's say we were to trade him. The Bears were to trade Justin Fields to the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders. They have Davante Adams. They have Kevin Waller. They could re-sign to Josh Jacobs. I mean, so those guys exist. So, yeah, it sucks to think that he could go somewhere and excel because he has those pieces. But, again, it's the gamble because I'm also not saying that Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or Will Levis is without doubt
exactly
a stud quarterback.
In fact, there's for me, there is less clarity. Like, right. I don't look at any of those guys.
Right.
And say, oh, yeah, right, there's right. No, like,
you're that's 100% certain.
Nobody is irresistible in that group. The one thing the caller said, too, I mean, he said his footwork is great.
I didn't want to harp on that.
His footwork is better. If you've been following along, training camp was all about footwork. His footwork got better. Okay. So it's not like great yet. His arm is good. That is true. Yeah. He is a great prospect. That is true that the caller said. I will say that Jay Cutler and Mitch Trubisky, I think, were really good prospects as well for the Bears.
Yeah.
Like, to say that there have never been prospects for, and at the time the Bears got Jay Cutler, he was still kind of, I mean, I know he had made a Pro Bowl.
Right.
But he was still in those.
Better than Justin Fields?
Stages. Oh, are you like at that point?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think at that point, yeah. I think.
Without question.
He was a more complete quarterback at that point.
Yes.
At that point. And Justin and Jay Cutler could run too. Not as good as Fields, not even as good as Mitch Trubisky. But Jay Cutler had some
but
decent
mobile
speed.
In the 2000s. He was mold.
He was like Jay Cutler was a really good athlete.
Yeah.
You know, he was fast. I mean, not fast, but he was relatively elusive. That's the right word to relative to the rest of the NFL in those years and at that time. So, yeah, I think those guys were prospects, but I think he was just a little bit off on some of the just the footwork thing. The other stuff, great arm, great prospect. But yeah, that this is it, and that's the discussion is just it's great. I mean, because the Bears are in position to do anything,
it gets the people going.
Yeah,
let's talk to somebody that's been home for a little bit. Let's go to John out in Las Vegas. So, John, you had a question for us about the big game, right?
Guys, I'm gonna go off track. What I'm looking the question that I want to ask, has any wild card team won the Super Bowl?
Johnny Wildcard. Johnny, thanks for the call. Has a wild card team ever won the Super Bowl?
I would think yes.
Wait a minute. Weren't the Eagles? Were they a wild card? I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I believe they were a wild card
they
team.
They were. The one that just won it a few years ago under Doug Peterson. They were a wild card, right?
Only, I said, since the wild card system began in 1970, only 10 wild card teams have advanced all the way to the big game.
Through the Super Bowl. Yeah, okay.
Six have won the big game.
Okay. Does it list the teams? Was Philadelphia?
I can only click so much.
I want to know if I'm right about the Eagles having been a wild card when they won in what was 17. I hate doing like the NFL sucks because it goes over 2 years. So it's not the 85 Bears. It's the 86 Bears. So what was it? That would have been.
Oh, here we go.
The year they won the Super Bowl. Oh, the Eagles, 17-18.
2020.
17-18.
2020, Tampa Bay was a 5 seed.
Okay.
2010, you have to go back 10 years. The Packers were the number 6 seed. And then I'm not going to go back through all of them.
I'd shame on me for not knowing
the Bears allowed them to get in, right? Is that year?
Yeah, that was the year. But
I don't want to live there.
But the Packers, I mean, they made it famous that they were, you know, they hit you over the head with that they were a 6 seed and won this. And that, of course, gave everybody hope. That's the way it goes.
From then on.
But I want to know if the Eagles, Tyler? Were the Eagles at?
No, I just said. I just gave you the teams.
So the Eagles weren't?
No. 2020, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
2010, Packers.
And then?
2007, Giants. 2005, Pittsburgh. 2000, Ravens.
Oh, I didn't hear all those.
1997, Broncos.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what you got.
Not the Eagles.
No Eagles in there.
Okay, so I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know if I was wrong.
I'll do some more. I mean, I'm scrolling fast here, but I'm pretty sure that I got that one. Hit that one on the
air. All right.
Let's take one more call before we go to break. Let's go to Joe out in Carroll Stream. So you want us, Joe, to give Justin Fields another year and another draft, right?
I do. And here's the reason why. Now, I'll preface this. If they trade him and get draft picks this year, that's great. But we're operating on the fact that we're going to keep Fields for next year. If Fields plays like crap or doesn't play any better or doesn't progress, you're still probably in position next year to pick in a top 5, top 10 pick, right? So, you know, there's other quarterbacks that'll be out next year. So you're in the same position to replace them at that point. We have so many holes on the roster right now, offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver. maybe, you know, you focus on filling those. So then next year, if you do have to draft another quarterback, you're in a better position than you are right now, at least on the roster.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because if Justin Fields is not good, there's a pretty good chance the Bears won't be good next year. And they would be, as the caller is saying, they would be back in position to have a high draft pick with which you could, you know, hopefully draft a quarterback. And who knows what you end up with from this draft in the first round next year as well, or second round.
Yeah, you're just not certain. From the 630, says Mel Kiper said, not only is Fields better than any of the quarterbacks in this draft, but he's also better than Caleb Williams, the guy who was up for the Heisman from USC in the 2024 draft. Now, I don't know if you know this, Mr. 630, but Mel Kiper's not always right. Just putting it out there.
He's getting older.
Just putting it out.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there. That's why they got other guys, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Following the draft.
I mean,
such.
It's a credible name, and that's fair. I guess if you're going to come with evidence, it probably should come from a credible person like Mel Kiper.
Yeah.
But you hate Mel Kiper. That's cool. That's what I got out of that.
I love his hair.
Mel Kiper's not always right.
Mel Kiper's not always right. Just because you're using that silly argument. Mel Kiper said it was better than everybody else. Oh, well, damn. Let Mel Kiper determine what we do with our first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
He knows everything.
It'd be like, who was the Oakland Raiders GM for a while? What's his name? He was a broadcaster. Then he took over the Raiders as GM.
Gruden?
No, he was the draft guru. God, what's his name?
Ah, damn.
I can't think of it.
Like 20 years ago or like
ago? In the last, like, I think he was just fired last year. Hancock? What's his name?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay.
That's why you got to Google fast like this. Here, I'll talk you Google.
Okay.
All right, it's Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody, right here on 670 The Score, hanging out with you guys till 9 o'clock. Got any thoughts? Got any phone calls? Yeah, it's probably better you call than text in. But 312-644-6767. We'll continue the NFL conversation, talk about our thoughts for the big game. And
Mike Mayock.
Learned that Mike Mayock was the GM.
Remember Mike Mayock? He was prominent on NFL Network as a draft expert hired by the Raiders because he's this draft guru.
And then it was Alex Leatherwood.
He and John Gruden screwed everything up.
Oh man.
Mike Mayock.
All right, your thoughts next. It's Gabe and Grody on 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
He definitely wanted to be there. He liked everything about it. And, you know, he was looking forward to going there. You know what I mean? Who doesn't want to be the first quarterback taken in the draft? You know, so there is definitely, you know, a situation where he thought that he was going to be there and hope to be there for a long time.
It's Pat Mahomes. Talking about Pat Mahomes wanting to be a Bear. That was earlier today with Parkinson Spiegel. It's Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody here on 670 The Score, taking your calls and thoughts. Just, you know, we're the same as you, Grody and I. We watched the games over the weekend, and we couldn't help but to compare the Chicago Bears against all four teams that were playing in the second to last week in an NFL season. So I get it if you're, you know, your panties are in a bunch.
I didn't really watch those games. With
not
that
you,
Grody.
I'm talking about the listeners.
No. You said like you can't help but thinking about. I wasn't thinking about the Bears watching these.
You just said you're watching the Eagles, and you said you were thinking about the Bears and how, you know, Jalen Hurts and the money. And
well, I mean, all year, like I'm thinking about Jalen Hurts, like the comp to to Justin Fields and all that. Like,
so no party when you're watching these games? You're like, damn, I wish the Bears were here?
Well, no, of course. Of course that's in my head. But the Bears are so far away right now in terms of the roster because they haven't done anything yet. It wasn't worth it to me. Like if I was doing that, I'd be like, oh, I wish the Bears had one of the because it would have been everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, duh. These teams are way better than the Bears right now. So I wasn't going to do that to myself.
You mentioned, Grody, earlier the Philadelphia Eagles and the type of franchise they are and have been over the course of the last 20 years, like you mentioned. And the Bears right now, I mean, I know we said they're, we kind of threw it out there, 3 years away from being, able to compete at that level. How far away is the organization from being that type of organization? Mm.
I have no idea how to answer that question because, well, the Bears were that org. I was going to say the Bears have never been that. The Bears were that in the 80s. They were that in the 80s. They had sustained success, no matter what you want to say about should the Bears have won another Super Bowl during that time. They had sustained success, and they haven't had it since. You know what I mean? Like where you had a definite identity that was going to win every year. The Bears had a definite identity. It was defense, and they had a strong offensive line throughout all of that. So, I mean, like, how would I answer that? How would you answer that question? That's impossible to answer something. Like, how far are they away from achieving sustained success when in my life, and that... You probably weren't around.
My entire life, they've been sucked.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So at least I got to see sustained success from the Bears, but that was it. It has not existed since. So I can't answer that question.
I think that if we as a fan base believe that Justin Fields is that dude, then I think we're headed in the right direction. Because if you look at any team that has sustained success, like Joe DiCamera was mentioning earlier, Tom Brady was just that dude, and that's what allowed them to have sustained success. He tipped his cap to the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes having to get rid of a Tyreek Hill, but still finding themselves in the big game. It starts with the quarterback. I think that's what we understand. Can the GM and such make the proper decisions in order to give you that? If you are the Eagles and getting rid of a Wentz and getting yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need that quarterback, right? That's where you understand. So I think it's a tough thing to do, but I think we haven't had the confidence in management and ownership. No, we don't have the confidence in management and ownership to think that, we're a year or two away from making the playoffs every year.
We've been hurt before, and we've been hurt badly. So, and part of the reason I can't and won't answer that question right now is because I have no idea what Ryan Pace, man. How many of those do I get, by the way? I think that's like my sixth this year.
I think
probably.
You can still do it.
I think anybody gets up to 10, especially,
Listen, it's not your fault they have the same first name.
That's right, exactly. And the first letter of the last name.
Yeah, come on.
But like, we have no idea if Ryan Poles is good at this yet.
Yeah.
So, like, to think, like, all the pieces seem to be in place for Ryan Poles to succeed because of the amount of resources that exist and having Justin Fields, who hopefully will be good to great as a quarterback. But I have no idea if Ryan Poles can do this.
Groats, before we go to the phone lines, this is a good one. Are you more confident that Justin Fields can be a great quarterback or that Ryan Poles can be a great GM?
Mm. The first, I would say, I'm more confident that Justin Fields can be
because of the body work.
Because of the body work. Because I've seen greatness.
Sneaky answer.
No, I don't think it's sneaky. I've seen greatness from Justin Fields.
Yeah,
I've seen greatness from him. You know what I mean? I've seen some great throws by Justin Fields. We can go through individual terrific throws that he made this year, but we saw him as a super runner this year.
Yeah.
So. Here's my question for you.
I'm here.
Do you think that Justin Fields are you more confident about Justin Fields after 2 years than you were about Mitch Trubisky after 2 years?
No.
You were more confident in Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah.
Wow.
Without a question. Without question.
Why?
Because there was playoffs there. And so that felt good.
It's true.
So you felt good about playoffs. You felt good about club dub.
But did you really feel like...
You also
like
felt good about the defense, though. So it was a team.
That's what I mean.
So you're right. Okay, you're right. And now I'm backtracking, and I'm thinking, and I'm saying, okay, wait, that was a team effort.
Okay.
I will say that there is the exact same level of uncertainty that exists between the two of them, where you wanted greatness from Mitch and you want greatness from Justin Fields, but you didn't see it consistently enough. And I think that's where I'm at with both quarterbacks after the second year. I'm exactly in that space.
Okay. And we did project on Trubisky a lot, like as in...
As we're doing with Justin Fields.
Well, right.
He's great.
Yeah. We gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Like, give him a receiver. Offensive line, Pro Bowl, Super Bowl. He's throwing for 4,000 yards. Like, that's exactly what we're doing with Justin Fields.
Well, and even Mitch Trubisky, getting them to a playoff and then... And then getting them in position, because he did get them in position to kick for Cody Parkey to kick a game-winning field goal.
Facts.
The other fact is though Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky wasn't great in that game until the end of that game, and he was great like in the fourth quarter, maybe even some in the third. I'd have to go back and look, but yeah, I think those are like, I want other fans to like really think about it. You know, if you want to call cool, but just think about that. Like be real with yourself. Where were you with Mitch Trubisky, and where are you with Justin Fields after 2 years?
I love
Think about that.
That. Yeah. 312-644-6767. Let's chat with some people that have been on hold for a while. G and Beverly. So, G, what are your thoughts when it comes to this quarterback situation? G, Alden Beverly.
What up, G?
Hi, guys. I'm glad I had to wait a while so I'd calm down.
Me too, G. I'll be very honest.
Okay, I got so many points that I want to say. First of all, we have to remember, only one quarterback at the end of the year goes home happy. Okay? And if you think about it, all these wonder kids are at home now. Allen, Burrow,
a bunch of guys with San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, so we had to keep this in perspective a little bit. You know, I mean, and first, my other point I could say is Mahomes should be our quarterback, but that's a whole other story, a whole other time.
Oh, we're getting to it.
Yeah, and, you know, if we could have started from there, we'd probably be talking about better things as opposed to where we are now. I'm telling you guys, listening to score had me questioning Fields. I had to go back and watch some of the highlights from college to say, this guy can throw the ball. He's a quarterback. I mean, you guys had me questioning him. And I'm telling you, we've got to give this guy a chance and give him some pieces in an offense more than 2 years and see what he can do.
Yep.
I hear you.
We all want to see that. I hope that when we go into this season, there are a couple of other receivers or tight ends on this roster that are better than Darnell Mooney.
That we hope. Let's take another call. Let's go out to Shane and Elgin. So, Shane, you actually have a strategy for the Bears in the next couple of years, right?
Yes, sir, I do. I hope you guys are staying warm. So I put my GM hat on. I want to get your thoughts on this. So it is a two-year plan. It allows us to kind of get one more year Justin Fields. So it starts off with these three quarterbacks coming out in the draft. Hopefully they kill it in their pro days, the combines. We get the teams competing for to kind of move up. We got to make three trades. You trade swap picks with Houston, and what I'm eyeballing, and I don't know what else it would take, is I want Houston second. I want their 12 that they got from Cleveland. So I don't know what the Bears would have to give up in addition to the first round. And then you take either their first round pick or Cleveland's next year, right? So now that puts us at two first round picks next year. You trade down 2 to 4 with Indy so they can get their quarterback, at least get a first-round pick for next year there. And then finally, you trade with the Raiders. If they want to move up to take Stroud or take Levis, whoever, kind of same thing. You get another first-round pick for 24. So that sets us up. We still can get our offensive line or defensive tackle, whatever we need, add a couple playmakers through free agency. We get one more year of Fields, and then next year we're sitting with at least 3 or 4 first-round picks, and you got that guy Caleb Williams, I think USC. He's coming out, right? That puts you in a spot where you now have Fields. You surround him with playmakers and offensive line. Is he your quarterback in the future? If not, you load up picks, you get Caleb Williams, or you get Marvin Harrison Jr. So that's my perfect draft strategy. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I love the very well thought out.
Oh, he was doing some late night Googles where his wife was like, "Babe, get to bed."
Yeah,
hold on, I got an idea.
That's how, I mean, I love that kind of stuff, though. Bears would be living a charmed life if they could pull that.
I think the trade to Houston from 2 to 1 is very possible.
I think the second trade doesn't happen because the number three pick is Arizona. So the Colts will just assume that a quarterback will fall back to them. And unless, again, like you mentioned, Shane and Elgin, that someone else wants to leapfrog them, that would be, I mean, that's a lot to be in that situation. The second thing is, if you have all those first round picks, then that means all your cap money's gone. Because then you're spending all that. You have to give first round picks a ton of money. So then you gotta watch what you wish for in those situations. But I do love the Houston 2-12. I mean, geez.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't? Yeah, that's like duh. Yeah, duh. You have to look at that.
I get Jalen Carter and I get a shot at Quentin Johnson or Jordan Addison.
And then he left enough room for the yeah. Bears to get the best quarterback in the draft
next year
after the season is over.
I love that.
A text, by the way, I would like to address here from the 312. Grody, you were a huge Mitch supporter. Own it. Absolutely correct. And maybe I misled the listener when I called out. I didn't call you out. I was just surprised that you said that you thought you were more Team Mitch than Team Justin after 2 years. I think I'm more. Well, I did. You're absolutely right, Texter. And anybody listening, I was full support of Mitch Trubisky. I thought Mitch Trubisky had a chance to be really good, and I was dead wrong on that. I just think that after 2 years of Justin Fields, I am more confident that Justin Fields could be a good to great quarterback or a sustained success quarterback than that of Mitch Trubisky. No doubt about it. I swig a little bit of the Kool-Aid every once in a while. There's no doubt about it. How can you not get behind these?
Trubisky whiskey was my favorite.
Oh, delicious.
Drink of choice.
Oh, and it's so good because you can even drink that because it's pretend when you're an alcoholic. So it's perfect. It's great.
It's fair.
It's wonderful.
That's great. Yeah. He's Mark Grody. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 The Score. We get to continue the football conversation and find out what it's like to be in the big game. Next, we talk to Jason Anderson, host of The Zone, Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. Get his thoughts on the big game and what does he think about Pat Mahomes saying that he probably thought he was going to be a Chicago Bear. We'll talk to him on the other side. It's Gabe and Grody right here on 670 The Score.
Now how about this beautiful trophy? Huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You got to fight for your right to party!
I genuinely thought when he made that statement that was like a Kansas City thing and the whole stadium was going to sing along with those Beastie Boy lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you got to fight.
Oh, you're right.
And I thought that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. But, you know.
Everybody else was like, no, we're really kind of sick of that Beastie Boys song. Even the Beastie Boys hate that song.
Do they really?
They do. They don't play, or they didn't when they still performed. Obviously, they don't perform anymore. But I watched the Apple TV documentary on the Beastie Boys, which you should if you have any interest in the Beastie Boys. It's very good. And, they stopped playing that song. Like, they hated it. They hated it.
I can imagine. I can understand
why.
So they
would end their concerts with Sabotage. Always Sabotage.
I love that damn song.
Sabotage.
So hopefully that song will be played loudly over the speakers in the event that the Kansas City Chiefs win the big game. And someone that will be reciting each and every lyric is joining us right now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is the host of The Zone Middays on Sports Radio 810 in Kansas. We got our guy Jason Anderson hanging out with us. Jason, what's up, man? Thanks for hanging out with us today.
No problem, fellas. What's going on?
So are you a big fan of that song, too, or you're anti-fight for your right to party?
No, about 4 years ago, the thing is, like when you guys were talking about the whole crowd singing along with them, and when they beat the Titans in 2019 to go to the Super Bowl, the first one that they ended up beating the 49ers a couple of weeks later, Travis Kelce on the stage said the same thing. Said, you got to fight for your right to party. They now play that after every touchdown in Arrowhead because of that. So that actually has become a thing at Arrowhead. That is the song they play when they score a touchdown. 2 weeks later, Travis Kelce down in Miami then said, you got to fight for your right to Lombardi on the stage and screamed that.
Oh,
so
very good.
It's been kind of a thing around here.
He's got bars. He got bars on
him. No, that's fair. That's cool, man.
He makes wrestling promos. I mean, when he got the mic, I was like, all right, shut up.
I think it's awesome, though. Like, usually it's guys that are not great, like Travis Kelce, that make fools of themselves. And I'm not saying Kelce made a fool of himself, but the guys that are like drunk and outspoken and all that kind of stuff, it's okay. Like Travis Kelce could do whatever he wants and it's cool.
Yeah, so at the Super Bowl parade in 2020, so that would have been February of 2020, just a couple of years before that was when Jason Kelce of the Eagles had his big on-stage Jason Kelce wrestling promo. Yeah, uh-huh. He was dressed out in that whole thing. And so I almost feel like since then, Travis just kind of felt like, I've got to try to find a way to one-up my brother. Like, I got to be that guy too. And so ever since then, Kelce's taken the stage and done some things like this, and he's been pretty good. So when he was on stage at the parade, it was like, all right, let's see what Travis Kelce is going to say on stage at the trophy presentation in 19. Same thing in the Super Bowl after the 49ers, and I had no idea it was going to be a shot at the mayor. But as soon as he said, I got something for the mayor, I'm like, oh, no.
You're like, this is going to be top of the hour every hour on tomorrow's show right now.
Dude, we probably played it about 100 times today during
that's
the show.
Awesome. So,
how many times did you play the mayor's quote, though, the preceding week building up to the game?
We only played that like once because we just thought it was kind of corny. You know?
Okay.
It was like,
yeah. Because, stupid because mayor like, stuff. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like even Bengals fans were like reaching out and going, yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay, damn.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's
great.
Our idiot mayor.
Yeah.
We can't claim that. That's my bad. And then we joke today. We're like, if you're running against him, haven't you already won? All you got to say is, I won't give ammunition to the other team the Bengals are playing because they will beat us.
Immediate.
So vote for me. I mean, They talked about what the mayor said a lot last night after the game. Like, that guy gave him a lot of ammunition with that little video he put out.
Some dopey mayor.
Tough day in the office for that guy. We're talking to Jason Anderson here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Mark Grody. Jason, I got a good friend of mine that lives in Kansas City, and him and I had some lengthy conversations about the Chiefs heading into the season. He was a bit worried about Russell Wilson up there in Denver. Take me through your own personal storyline of the season prior to it starting, middle of it, what your feelings were, and then now that you're, about to be playing in the big game.
I actually think it goes back to March because, we were on the air live when the news came down that Tyreek Hill was getting traded, and which was just crazy because we're all breaking it live and trying to assess it in real time. And what are they getting? Is he going to New York? Is he going to Miami? And it really started there because the Chiefs in this front office, they're in a position now to where, how do you build a team around an expensive quarterback? You know you can do it when you've got a rookie quarterback or a rookie contract quarterback. So what do you do when that quarterback starts to make, $30, $40, $50 million against the salary cap? And Tyreek Hill wanted, top-of-the-line money. And you can't pay him and Orlando Brown and Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Like, you've got to make some cuts somewhere. So when they made that decision, my thought at the time was, this is going to be probably a short-term pain for long-term gain. That these other teams, the Chargers, the Bills, the Bengals were building their offensive line. The Broncos went and got Russell Wilson. The Raiders went and got Khalil Mack. All these teams are investing to beat the Chiefs. It's about beating the Chiefs. Even though the Bengals had just won, it was about beating the Chiefs. And the Chiefs were taking a different approach. They were zigging when everybody else was zagging. So my thought in the offseason was, this isn't going to be a year for the Chiefs. They're going to take a step back because they're going to have these rookies, these seven rookies that are going to be out there. We'll see how they adjust offensively. I actually was on the air saying I would, go out and lay the and put some money on Patrick Mahomes plus 900 for the MVP. And I'm glad my wallet backed that up because that'll be nice in a month or so. In a couple of weeks. When I get that, but I was trying to tell everybody, this feels like a scorched earth Patrick Mahomes bleep you tour, kind of like Aaron Rodgers when they drafted Jordan Love. Like, okay, you guys are doubting me. Like, I'm not the best. All right, we'll see. And that's what the offseason felt like. Mahomes in the second half against the Bengals, first time the Chiefs season ended because of you. It's your fault. Every other time it was like you either won or you were heroic in the loss to the Bucks. Right? Now it's your fault. Tyreek Hill, you're not the same quarterback with Tyreek Hill. So good luck, being able to do that. So I think the Chiefs took it kind of personally that they were going to, be a team that steps back and watches these other teams take control of the AFC. And to me, like, as the season progressed, you saw, okay, they're still the Chiefs. It's still Patrick Mahomes. It's still Travis Kelce. They still have a good offensive line, and they've got good coaching. But what do these rookies look like? Because It's strategy versus actually going and enacting that strategy, the execution, strategy versus execution. I don't think the process in Philadelphia was terrible. The strategy was fine, you know, tanking for extra assets. The execution was lacking. So the Chiefs trading Tyreek Hill, the strategy isn't terrible. How do you execute that? Well, when you've got Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, Brian Cook, George Karloftis, Isaiah Pacheco, and Sky Moore, rookies in an AFC championship game that all played big roles with two interceptions, 85 yards, Trent McDuffie had two pass defense, George Karloftis got a sack, Brian Cook was the one that tipped the ball in the air for the other rookie to intercept it, Sky Moore had the punt return that set up the winning field goal. Like, that's executing along with the strategy of it, and that goes to the front office. That was the significance to me, guys, of last night, in that this was a step back year for the Chiefs. This was a restructure, reorganize year for the Chiefs. Not rebuild, because you got Patrick Mahomes, but a reorganized salary cap and roster, and then see where everybody else is while they're all going in on the salary cap in a couple of years. When you're not paying Tyreek Hill $35 million against the cap, now you've got extra room to play with these rookies. You can go and make some moves and get back to being the strength of the AFC. And then they go and win the AFC this year. That's what's really most impressive about what's taken place almost a year ago in March when they traded Tyreek Hill.
Truly is the essence of a quarterback making other players around him better. And that's what Patrick Mahomes, and that the third quarter touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 3rd and 10. I don't know if you were at the game, if you're watching on TV, but like even Jim Nantz couldn't tell because Scantling was covered very well at that shallow spot at the front of the end zone, and he hits him somehow under that pressure with it being 3rd and 10. Just a marvelous play in the game, and it just sort of, like, I think you're right. Like, I think Patrick Mahomes, that this has been his, like, I'm still the greatest quarterback. Yeah. You got Joe Burrow nipping at his heels, and, mm-hmm. like, all these guys trying to make their case to be in the picture with, Jalen Hurts, for that matter, to be in the picture with Patrick Mahomes, and he just pushed them all off with that win, and I thought in particular with that play.
It's funny you talk about that. I was not at the game, so I was watching it on TV the same as you, and I thought he dropped it because he just sat there.
Yeah.
There was no celebration.
Yeah, like, there was no celebration, and Nantz wasn't saying a thing.
You scored a touchdown to go up 20-13 in the AFC Championship game in the second half, and Valdez-Scantling just sat there with the ball in his lap.
Yeah.
Like, I thought because the ball hit the ground and he was, like, mad at himself that he didn't catch it, because while MVS was really good last night, and he had to be because of the injuries, he's had his struggles this year, and that was a big storyline for last night, is that MVS and Patrick Mahomes haven't really been on the same page. Like, the catch rate for Marquez Valdez-Scantling is lower than all of the other receivers. Mahomes throwing to Marquez Valdez-Scantling is lower in his quarterback rating than the other receivers on the field. They just haven't been able to hook up for some reason. And then Juju goes down, Tony goes down, Mecole Hardman goes down, and all they're doing is saying, well, you're not going to get it to Travis Kelce. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling has more targets, catches, and yards than he's had all year in any game, and steps up and does that. So that was pretty big for him to do that, because when they traded Tyreek Hill, the next day they signed Marquez Valdez-Scantling to try to help start to alleviate, you know, that speed or stretching the field, hitting him over the top, have that threat. And MVS was supposed to be that threat, but he really hasn't been that. But he earned every single penny of his contract last night.
Yeah, and the reality is, I mean, when you're in that situation, you do try to pick up the pieces and find some other people, but it's unique. I mean, the Chiefs go out and get Kadarius Toney middle of the season just because they say to themselves, hey, we need more weapons. We're talking to Jason Anderson here on 670 The Score. He's the host of The Zone, middays on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And, you know, I want, since you were watching the game at home, I want you to take me back to the moment when, you know, the Bengals have the ball with about, you know, a couple minutes left, and then they punt it with 41 seconds left. At that moment, are you thinking, Jason, we're going to OT, or are you the confident Chiefs fan that says, oh, that's all the time that Patrick Mahomes needs?
So the range of emotions was amazing last night at that moment.
I bet.
Because when the Chiefs punted it down on 4th and 8, and I thought it would have been too risky with a hobbled quarterback and an offense that really wasn't clicking last night to go for it on 4th and 8, even though it's like, hold on, it's 20-20. It's the AFC Championship game. There's 2 minutes left. you're at the 37-yard line of your own, of the other team, and you're going to punt it. But actually, last night, I kind of felt like that was the right move. And, you know, we've had so many Andy Reid decisions and things like that, discussions that we've had. So when he punted it down, I thought, you know, I've seen this before. The Chiefs have lost three games to the Bengals by 3 points. Those three games, the Bengals had the ball last and kicked a field goal to win the game, or ran out the clock like they did the most recent one on December 4th. So I'm like, the defense has been really good, but this is going to be a 25-yard pass to T. Higgins, a jump ball to Ja'Marr Chase. They're going to get into field goal range, take a couple knees, and it's going to be 23-20 Bengals. But when the defense stepped up and Chris Jones got that sack and was just, you know, the symmetry of the storylines throughout the season, and Chris Jones in his career never had a postseason sack, and people had been talking about that for some reason here in Kansas City. People were acting like he wasn't good enough because he didn't have a counting, statistic, even though he's been dominant in the playoffs. That for him to get that on the last defensive play to get the sack, sort of stamping the game that he had. And to me, when the punt went away, it was about the return, because I knew the offense had been struggling, and I knew that Mahomes, you know, didn't seem as mobile, and didn't feel like he was reading the defense the same, and the offense wasn't clicking the way that wasn't the first half. And so against the Bills with 13 seconds left, I was more confident than if the Chiefs would have started at their own 20-yard line last night after the punt. But Sky Moore's punt return, again, second-round rookie from Directional Michigan, you know, comes through and returns it to the 50-yard line. And when he did that, I'm like, they're going to win. They're going to win 23-20. They're going to find a way to get it done. And, you know, they're going to reverse the script on the Bengals. I didn't think it would be because Mahomes ran for a first down and ran almost 19 miles an hour for a first down on a high ankle sprain.
Mm. Yeah, high ankle sprain my ass.
I mean, it's crazy what people were saying what he did last week. Like, this guy was, you know, he talked about how Brittany and the kids would have to come with him so he could still be around the family. Like, they went to rehab with him. Like, they would go, he was getting treatment at different places, and so she just brought the kids so they can still be around him while he was trying to get the stuff done. Like, his whole week last night was them working on his ankle and him watching film and game planning. And so the guy's dedicated, I know that, but I just didn't think that would be the last offensive play. That the last defensive play was Chris Jones getting a sack. The last offensive play was Mahomes outrunning somebody to the sideline to pick up a first down on the on one ankle.
With a little bit of help from Joseph Asai and a bad roughing penalty.
It's just a terrible decision. You can't touch him. I mean, it's the NFL, you know, and the guy's, he's taken two steps out of bounds already. Like,
yo,
you know, any quarterback's going to get that call at that point. Like, it's just, as soon as he did that, I'm like, oh my God, he just did that. Like, they were clearly going to throw the flag. I just couldn't believe that happened. I thought when Mahomes ran out of bounds, I thought, okay, 8 seconds, can they somehow get a 10-yard play and get out of bounds? Because then that would set up like a 50-yarder for Harrison Butker. But then they didn't have to do that once I made that decision.
I do have one kind of incidental question. What did you think, Jason, of the hook and ladder, Travis Kelce attempting to go to Jerick McKinnon, and in general, those types of things that Andy Reid likes to do?
I don't think that was an Andy Reid play.
Oh,
I think
okay.
That was Travis Kelce.
No, it might have been because Kelce almost did it again.
Kelce's done that multiple times in his career. He did that, God, was it 2020 or 2019? One of the years.
Uh-huh.
One of the years with Mahomes and Kelce, I think it was 2019, whatever, but Kelce caught the ball over the middle. He was getting tackled, and it was 2019 because he lateraled to LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
And so he was falling, and he tosses the ball to LeSean McCoy. He's tried it earlier this year where he had the ball, and he tried to pitch it over to the side. I don't think it's anything that Andy Reid called, because even if Jerick McKinnon catches the ball, when they show it from the end zone angle behind the Chiefs, there's a defender like 10 yards down the field from McKinnon.
Yes.
Like, if McKinnon picks it up, he's still got a defender in front of him.
Right. So
I don't think the design would be to have your wide receiver going on the top of Travis Kelce down the field. If you're going to hook and ladder, I think you would get that guy out of there to clear the space.
That's a good point.
So I think that was just Kelce. And the plays like that they would do, that they do call down to the goal line, those are typically down goal-to-go situations. Like, when you see the trick plays from the Chiefs, the Mahomes going in motion in the Ferrari package that they call, or the, I think it was called Arctic Circle of...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now how about this beautiful trophy? Huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party!
I genuinely thought when he made that statement that that was like a Kansas City thing and the whole stadium was going to sing along with those Beastie Boy lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you gotta fight
for your right.
And I thought that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. But, you know.
Everybody else was like, no, we're really kind of sick of that Beastie Boys song. Even the Beastie Boys hate that song.
Do they really?
They do. They don't play, or they didn't when they still performed. Obviously, they don't perform anymore. But I watched the Apple TV documentary on the Beastie Boys,
yes.
Which you should if you have any interest in the Beastie Boys. It's very good. And, they stopped playing that song. Like, they hated it. They hated it.
I can imagine. I can understand
why. So they
why.
Would end their concerts with... Sabotage. Always Sabotage.
I love that damn song.
Sabotage.
So hopefully that song will be played loudly over the speakers in the event that the Kansas City Chiefs win the big game. And someone that will be reciting each and every lyric is joining us right now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is the host of The Zone Middays on Sports Radio 810 in Kansas. We got our guy Jason Anderson hanging out with us. Jason, what's up, man? Thanks for hanging out with us today.
No problem, fellas. What's going on?
So are you a big fan of that song, too, or you're anti-fight for your right to party?
No, about 4 years ago, the thing is, like, when you guys were talking about the whole crowd singing along with them, and when they beat the Titans in 2019 to go to the Super Bowl, the first one that they ended up beating the 49ers a couple of weeks later, Travis Kelce on the stage said the same thing. Said, you got to fight for your right to party. They now play that after every touchdown in Arrowhead because of that. So that actually has become a thing at Arrowhead. That
I
is the song they play when they score a touchdown. 2 weeks later, Travis Kelce down in Miami then said, you got to fight for your right to Lombardi on the stage and screamed that.
Oh,
so
very good.
It's been kind of a thing around here.
He's got bars. He got bars.
Yeah.
Over there.
No, that's fair. That's cool, man.
He makes wrestling promos. I mean, when he got the mic, I was like, all right, shut up.
I think it's awesome, though. Like, usually it's guys that are not great, like Travis Kelce, that make fools of themselves. And I'm not saying Kelce made a fool of himself, but the guys that are, like, drunk and outspoken and all that kind of stuff, it's okay. Like, Travis Kelce could do whatever he wants, and it's cool.
Yeah, so at the Super Bowl parade in 2020, so that would have been February of 2020, just a couple of years before that was when Jason Kelce of the Eagles had his big on-stage Jason Kelce wrestling promo.
Uh-huh.
He was dressed out in that whole thing. And so I almost feel like since then, Travis just kind of felt like, I've got to try to find a way to one-up my brother. Like, I got to be that guy too. And so ever since then, Kelce's taken the stage and done some things like this, and he's been pretty good. So when he was on stage at the parade, it was like, all right, let's see what Travis Kelce's going to say on stage at the trophy presentation in 19. Same thing in the Super Bowl after the 49ers, and I had no idea it was going to be a shot at the mayor. But as soon as he said, I got something for the mayor, I'm like, oh, no.
You're like, this is going to be top of the hour, every hour on tomorrow's show right now.
Dude, we probably played it about 100 times today during
That's
the show.
Awesome. So,
how many times did you play the mayor's quote, though, the preceding week building up to the game?
We only played that like once because we just thought it was kind of corny. You know,
okay.
It's like,
yeah, because stupid because mayor like, stuff. You know, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like even Bengals fans were like reaching out and going, yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, damn.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's great.
Our idiot mayor.
Yeah.
We can't claim that. That's my bad. And then we joke today. We're like, if you're running against him, haven't you already won? All you got to say is, I won't give ammunition to the other team.
Yeah,
the Bengals are playing.
Right.
They will beat us.
Immediate.
So vote for me. I mean, they talked about what the mayor said a lot last night after the game. Like, that guy gave him a lot of ammunition with that little video he put out.
Some dopey mayor.
Tough day in the office for that guy. We're talking to Jason Anderson here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Mark Grody. Jason, I got a good friend of mine that lives in Kansas City, and him and I had some lengthy conversations about the Chiefs heading into the season. He was a bit worried about Russell Wilson up there in Denver. Take me through your own personal storyline of the season prior to it starting, middle of it, what your feelings were, and then now that you're about to be playing in the big game.
I actually think it goes back to March because we were on the air live when the news came down that Tyreek Hill was getting traded, and which was just crazy because we're all breaking it live and trying to assess it in real time. And what are they getting? Is he going to New York? Is he going to Miami? And it really started there because the Chiefs in this front office, they're in a position now to where how do you build a team around an expensive quarterback? You know you can do it when you've got a rookie quarterback or a rookie contract quarterback. So what do you do when that quarterback starts to make, $30, $40, $50 million against the salary cap? And Tyreek Hill wanted, top-of-the-line money. And you can't pay him and Orlando Brown and Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Like, you got to make some cuts somewhere. So when they made that decision, my thought at the time was, this is going to be probably a short-term pain for long-term gain. That these other teams, the Chargers, the Bills, the Bengals were building their offensive line. The Broncos went and got Russell Wilson. The Raiders went and got Khalil Mack. All these teams are investing to beat the Chiefs. It's about beating the Chiefs. Even though the Bengals had just won, it was about beating the Chiefs. And the Chiefs were taking a different approach. They were zigging when everybody else was zagging. So my thought in the offseason was, this isn't going to be a year for the Chiefs. They're going to take a step back because they're going to have these rookies, these seven rookies that are going to be out there. We'll see how they adjust offensively. I actually was on the air saying I would, go out and lay the and put some money on Patrick Mahomes plus 900 for the MVP. And I'm glad my wallet backed that up because that'll be nice in a month or so. In a couple of weeks when I get that. But I was trying to tell everybody, this feels like a scorched earth Patrick Mahomes bleep you tour, kind of like Aaron Rodgers when they drafted Jordan Love. Like, okay, you guys are doubting me. Like, I'm not the best. All right, we'll see. And that's what the offseason felt like. Mahomes in the second half against the Bengals, first time the Chiefs season ended because of you. It's your fault. Every other time it was like you either won or you were heroic in the loss to the Bucks. Right? Now it's your fault. Tyreek Hill, you're not the same quarterback with Tyreek Hill. So good luck, being able to do that. So I think the Chiefs took it kind of personally that they were going to, be a team that steps back and watches these other teams take control of the AFC. And to me, like, as the season progressed, you saw, okay, they're still the Chiefs. It's still Patrick Mahomes. It's still Travis Kelce. They still have a good offensive line, and they've got good coaching. But what do these rookies look like? Because it's strategy versus actually going and enacting that strategy. The execution, strategy versus execution. I don't think the process in Philadelphia was terrible. The strategy was fine, tanking for extra assets. The execution was lacking. So the Chiefs trading Tyreek Hill, the strategy isn't terrible. How do you execute that? Well, when you've got Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, Brian Cook, George Karloftis, Isaiah Pacheco, and Sky Moore, rookies in an AFC championship game that all played big roles with two interceptions, 85 yards. Trent McDuffie had two pass defense. George Karloftis got a sack. Brian Cook was the one that tipped the ball in the air for the other rookie to intercept it. Sky Moore had the punt return that set up the winning field goal. Like, that's executing along with the strategy of it, and that goes to the front office. That was the significance to me, guys, of last night, in that this was a step back year for the Chiefs. This was a restructure, reorganize year for the Chiefs. Not rebuild, because you got Patrick Mahomes, but a reorganized salary cap and roster, and then see where everybody else is while they're all going in on the salary cap in a couple of years. When you're not paying Tyreek Hill $35 million against the cap, now you've got extra room to play with these rookies. you can go and make some moves and get back to being the strength of the AFC. And then they go and win the AFC this year. That's what's really most impressive about what's taken place almost a year ago in March when they traded Tyreek Hill.
Truly is the essence of a quarterback making other players around him better. And that's what Patrick Mahomes does. And that the third quarter touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 3rd and 10. I don't know if you were at the game, if you're watching on TV, but like even Jim Nance couldn't tell because Scantling was covered very well at that shallow spot at the front of the end zone, and he hits him somehow under that pressure with it being 3rd and 10. Just a marvelous play in the game, and it just sort of like I think you're right. Like I think Patrick Mahomes that this has been his like I told like, I'm still the greatest quarterback yeah. You had to go Joe Burrow nipping at his heels and like all these guys trying to make their case to be in the picture with Jalen Hurts for that matter to be in the picture with Patrick Mahomes, and he just pushed them all off with that win, and I thought in particular with that play.
It's funny you talk about that. I was not at the game, so I was watching it on TV the same as you, and I thought he dropped it because he just sat there.
Yeah.
There was no celebration.
Yeah, there was no celebration, and Nance wasn't saying a thing.
You scored a touchdown to go up 20-13 in the AFC Championship game in the second half, and Valdez-Scantling just sat there with the ball in his lap.
Yeah.
Like, I thought because the ball hit the ground and he was like mad at himself that he didn't catch it, because while MVS was really good last night, and he had to be because of the injuries, he's had his struggles this year, and that was a big storyline for last night, is that MVS and Patrick Mahomes haven't really been on the same page. Like the catch rate for Marquez Valdez-Scantling is lower than all of the other receivers. Mahomes throwing to Marquez Valdez-Scantling is lower in his quarterback rating than the other receivers on the field. They just haven't been able to hook up for some reason. And then Juju goes down, Tony goes down, Mecole Hardman goes down, and all they're doing is saying, well, you're not going to get it to Travis Kelce. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling has more targets, catches, and yards than he's had all year in any game. And steps up and does that. So that was pretty big for him to do that, because when they traded Tyreek Hill, the next day they signed Marquez Valdez-Scantling to try to help start to alleviate, you know, that speed or stretching the field, hitting him over the top, have that threat. And MVS was supposed to be that threat, but he really hasn't been that. But he earned every single penny of his contract last night.
Yeah, and the reality is, I mean, when you're in that situation, you do try to pick up the pieces and find some other people, but it's unique. I mean, the Chiefs go out and get Kadarius Toney middle of the season just because they say to themselves, hey, we need more weapons. We're talking to Jason Anderson here on 670 The Score. He's the host of The Zone, middays on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And, since you were watching the game at home, I want you to take me back to the moment when the Bengals have the ball with about a couple minutes left, and then they punt it with 41 seconds left. At that moment, are you thinking, Jason, we're going to OT, or are you the confident Chiefs fan that says, oh, that's all the time that Patrick Mahomes needs?
So the range of emotions was amazing last night at that moment.
I bet.
Because when the Chiefs punted it down on 4th and 8, and I thought it would have been too risky with a hobbled quarterback and an offense that really wasn't clicking last night to go for it on 4th and 8, even though it's like, hold on, it's 20-20, it's the AFC Championship game, there's 2 minutes left, you're at the 37-yard line of your own of the other team, and you're going to punt it. But actually, last night, I kind of felt like that was the right move. And, you know, we've had so many Andy Reid decisions and things like that, discussions that we've had. So when he punted it down, I thought, you know, I've seen this before. The Chiefs have lost 3 games to the Bengals by 3 points. Those 3 games, the Bengals had the ball last and kicked a field goal to win the game, or ran out the clock like they did the most recent one on December 4th. So I'm like, the defense has been really good, but this is going to be a 25-yard pass to T. Higgins, a jump ball to Ja'Marr Chase. They're going to get into field goal range, take a couple knees, and it's going to be 23-20 Bengals. But when the defense stepped up and Chris Jones got that sack and was just, you know, the symmetry of the storylines throughout the season, and Chris Jones in his career had never had a postseason sack, and people had been talking about that for some reason here in Kansas City. People were acting like he wasn't good enough because he didn't have a counting statistic, even though he's been dominant in the playoffs. That for him to get that on the last defensive play, to get the sack sort of stamping the game that he had. And to me, when the punt went away, it was about the return, because I knew the offense had been struggling, and I knew that Mahomes – you know, didn't seem as mobile, and didn't feel like he was reading the defense the same, and the offense wasn't clicking the way that wasn't the first half. And so against the Bills with 13 seconds left, I was more confident than if the Chiefs would have started at their own 20-yard line last night after the punt. But Sky Moore's punt return, again, second-round rookie from Directional Michigan, you know, comes through and returns it to the 50-yard line. And when he did that, I'm like, they're going to win. They're going to win 23-20. They're going to find a way to get it done. And, you know, they're going to reverse the script on the Bengals. I didn't think it would be because Mahomes ran for a first down and ran almost 19 miles an hour for a first down on a high ankle sprain. Mm.
Yeah, high ankle sprain my ass.
I mean, it's crazy what people were saying what he did last week. Like, this guy was, you know, he talked about how Brittany and the kids would have to come with him so he could still be around the family. Like, they went to rehab with him. Like, they would go, he was getting treatment at different places, and so she just brought the kids so they can still be around him while he was trying to get the stuff done. Like, his whole week last night was them working on his ankle and him watching film and game planning. And so the guy's dedicated, I know that, but I just didn't think that would be the last offensive play. That the last defensive play was Chris Jones getting a sack. The last offensive play was Mahomes outrunning somebody to the sideline to pick up a first down on one ankle.
With a little bit of help from Joseph Asai and a bad Absolutely. Roughing
yeah,
penalty.
It's just a terrible decision. You know, you just you can't touch him. I mean, it's the NFL, you know, and the guy's he's taken two steps out of bounds already. Like,
yo.
You know, any quarterback's going to get that call at that point. Like, it's just as soon as he did that, I'm like, oh my God, that he just did that. Like, they were clearly going to throw the flag. I just couldn't believe that happened. I thought when Mahomes ran out of bounds, I thought, okay, 8 seconds, can they somehow get a 10-yard play and get out of bounds? Because then that would set up like a 50-yarder for Harrison Butker. But then they didn't have to do that once I made that decision.
I do have one kind of incidental question. What did you think, Jason, of the hook and ladder, Travis Kelce attempting to go to Jerick McKinnon, and in general, those types of things that Andy Reid likes to do?
I don't think that was an Andy Reid play.
No,
I think that was Travis Kelce.
It might have been because Kelce did it again.
Kelce's done that multiple times in his career. He did that, God, was it 2020 or 2019? I can't remember, one of the years.
Uh-huh.
One of the years with Mahomes and Kelce, I think it was 2019, whatever, but Kelce caught the ball over the middle. He was getting tackled, and it was 2019 because he lateraled to LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
And so he was falling, and he tosses the ball to LeSean McCoy. He's tried it earlier this year where he had the ball, and he tried to pitch it over to the side. I don't think it's anything that Andy Reid called, because even if Jerick McKinnon catches the ball, when they show it from the end zone angle behind the Chiefs, there's a defender like 10 yards down the field from McKinnon.
Yes.
Like, if McKinnon picks it up, he's still got a defender in front of him.
Right. So
I don't think the design would be to have your wide receiver going on the top of Travis Kelce down the field. If you're going to hook and ladder, I think you would get that guy out of there to clear
true.
The space.
That's a good point.
So I think that was just Kelce. And the plays like that they would do, that they do call down to the goal line, those are typically down goal-to-go situations. Like, when you see the trick plays from the Chiefs, the Mahomes going in motion in the Ferrari package that they call, or the, I think it was called Arctic Circle of Death, Snow Globe Left.
I love that.
I think that's the actual play call.
Matt Nagy brought Santa's sleigh from Kansas City to the Bears. Yeah.
Hey, Jason.
There you go. So this was the reindeer personnel, the Arctic Circle of Death, Snow Globe Left. And it was just really, just could have been called Ring Around the Rosie. I mean, you could have called it that. Like,
the first one's way cooler, though.
Well, hopefully Santa gets you that big ring you guys are hoping for. You know, it's been a while. You know, I'm a big Mahomes fan. So hopefully you guys get that victory, man. And thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Great stuff.
Absolutely, guys. And rooting for the Bears, too. I'm a big fan of Ryan Poles. So,
that's right.
I like hearing that.
I'll be rooting for the Bears for sure, because that's a good dude, man.
Anything Kansas City related, that's what it is right there.
No, that's right. Absolutely, man. Big year for Poles.
I love it, man. Jason Anderson, host of The Zone Middays on Sports Radio 810. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter, J810Anderson. All right, it's Gabe and Grody. We got more stuff to talk about. Don't forget Sam Smith hanging out with us at 8:20 to discuss the Chicago Bulls. We'll be back after the break. It's Gabe and Grody right here on 670 The Score.